Hey, we're going Patreon is public again this week. This is the most dangerous game from March 24th, 2020. And the reason that date matters is because this was about 2 weeks after the United States of America went into full lockdown. So I like the story, and it's also, I'm on here hoping everybody stays safe and eating cookie dough bites. So hope you guys enjoy it, and I'll talk to you later on. All right, I'll see you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Oral Presentations, Patreon, episode 8, I think. The most dangerous game. Now, the most dangerous game is a short story that was published in 1924 by a dude named Richard Connell. It's known as classic American literature. It's only like 33 pages long. I'll get into why I picked the topic. Also, I think it's episode 8, but I'm not sure. I should just check on my phone, but I'm doing this thing where I just turn off my phone for a couple hours at a time. And so I'm in one of those periods right now. But either way, I mean, I'm almost sure it's episode 8. Just to kind of like, I don't know, stop being on my phone so much, even though I can't leave the house. That's another thing. If you, this is a weird ass time where everybody just got to stay inside. So I hope you guys are doing all right. I'm doing all right, I guess. Yeah. I'm just still doing that thing where I'm eating like I'm hungover every day and just drink a lot of water. I started eating chili recently. That's pretty good. And then last night I got into the cookie dough bites. I did. So I'm doing experiments on my own insides right now. I got into the cookie dough bites. I did that thing. You ever like go to microwave something to eat, and then while you're waiting on it, you just start eating cookie dough bites? And it's like, but in my head, I'm like, well, I can only eat cookie dough bites for these couple of minutes. So it's not so bad. I'll just eat cookie dough bites while I'm waiting. And then I'll eat this thing. And then you go and you eat the thing. And then afterwards, like, I couldn't sleep. So I just like, wonder what those cookie dough bites are doing over there. And I would just go downstairs and eat like a handful of them, like a small handful, and be like, all right, well, this is the only handful of cookie dough bites. This is getting ridiculous. Come on, Chris. And then I'd find myself back down there. Taking little handfuls, like Aladdin, like early Aladdin, where he steals that loaf of bread. I was just Aladdin stealing cookie dough bites last night, wearing his genie pants and shit. Just being like, I wonder if these still taste the same, huh? Oh, they do, delicious. Anyways, I hope you guys are hanging in all right. I don't know, that's really all I'm going to talk about it for. So we're doing The Most Dangerous Game. Again, it's a short story from 1924. And I picked it because I read this story when I was in like sixth grade, and it's like, I still remember how much I liked it. It's just a fun adventure mystery, and it's short, but I hadn't read it since I was in sixth grade. But I was thinking about it, and then I kind of got obsessed with an idea of like, look, I bet I could just, cause I bought it and it was so short. It's only 33 pages. And I was like, look, I bet I could read this all out loud. I bet I could like record it as an audiobook, but just straight up recording audiobooks kind of lame and self-serving. But what I was going to do, and I thought that this might be a decent workaround if I could pull it off, but yeah, spoiler alert, I couldn't pull it off. So when I used to run the live show Oral Presentations, there was like a mini game portion we would do every now and then, because I still have a chair desk combo from high school. I don't know how it ended up here. I still have it. I'm actually sitting in it right fucking now. So a mini game we would do with the live show is that I would put this chair desk combo in the middle of the stage facing the audience. And then I have either like a history or an English book from high school, just randomly. I still have a couple of those laying around if I look for them. And I would open it up to a page, whatever random two pages it opened up to, a comic would come up, sit in that chair, and then would have to read those two pages out loud through the microphone to the audience. Now the game was, the comic gets two mistakes. Nothing's going to happen. You get two flubs. Happens to everybody. Don't worry about it. But I am standing next to you with a microphone. And when you make a mistake, I will announce to the audience that you have made a mistake. And that counts as one, or that counts as two. Now, on your third mistake, and the audience knows this, I will signal the audience. And then they will, for 3 to 5 seconds, be allowed to scream whatever shit they can fucking think of, the wildest shit they can think of at you as loud as they want to try to fuck you up even worse. And then after 3 to 5 seconds, I cut them off. And then the comic has to continue reading. And the comic has to finish those two pages. I think we ran it competitively one time where like the comic with the least amount of mistakes wins. And I think, that was a couple years ago. I can't really remember it, but I think Charles Bliznick might have broke that game by just reading the two pages out loud perfectly. That guy is so good at reading. He reads a lot. So I thought on Thursday, I was like, oh, dude, I bet I could get these whole 33 pages done with less than 3 mistakes. No problem. And then I tried it like 14 times and nope, nothing doing. I think the furthest I ever got into the book was page 12. I completely underestimated that. I have a greater respect for voiceover artists now. Definitely. It was way harder than I thought. And I didn't know why. One, I can't read great. Or I can read all right, but I can't read out loud well. I mean, I don't think anybody can unless you do it all the time. I even looked up, like, how do you read out loud better? Nobody has advice for it. It's just like, well, you got to do it a lot or be confident. And then I was trying shit like, I read that and then I was like, all right, cool. I'll try something else. Cause this is at like time number 7 start. Cause every time I would get my third mistake at like page 11, I would fuck up. And then I have to start at the beginning. It was like a terrible video game boss battle with a number of different stages in it. So like, if you die on like the second, you have to fight the first stage again. Dude, I read the first 12 pages of this so much. It's making me laugh. I also have all those mistakes that I made, and I've been listening to those. Those make me laugh. I might put one of those up because it's me under pressure trying to read out loud and not fuck up and really caring about it. And then you hear me just ride it into the rocks, dude. Just fuck. But I was trying, I listened to the Yin Yang Twins Salt Shaker before doing it once. And that same run, I watched that scene from the movie Inside Out where that purple elephant kills himself to save that little girl. Cause that'll get me fired up too. That's a good scene. If you ever that kid's movie, the animated one, Inside Out, about I don't know, emotions or something. I'm not really sure. It's like dreams or emotions. I don't know. But at some point in time, a purple elephant kills himself to save like a small fairy angel. And there's a line where like they've been trying to ride this wagon out on like globes. This is gonna be a tough description, but they're trying to jump a ramp or something, and the fucking elephant's too big. He can't do it. So the elephant's like, all right, whatever. And then before the last attempt, the elephant goes up to the little girl or like the fairy creature and was like, come on, one more time. I feel good about this one. And what you go to find out is that like the elephant said that because he knew he was going to kill himself on that one. He was going to jump off the back so that the fairy creature could survive and try to, like, I don't know, save the movie. Or I think the whole movie is about saving some little girl's mental health. I don't know. But I watched that and then I tried to read it out loud. Dude, that was disastrous. I only got like 3 pages in on that one. I was too excited. I was reading a short story from 1921, charged up on Yin Yang Twin energy, dude. Those mistakes are fucking brutal. And I knew it was happening when it was happening. I couldn't stop it. I was like, fuck, you're too excited about a dead purple elephant cartoon. So that was what I was going to do. I couldn't make it happen. I was like, well, I still really like the story. So I'm going to do it as like an episode because I think it is a really good story and it counts as classic American literature knowledge. And this is like a widely referenced thing in like popular television and movies and stuff about like the most dangerous game and like the plot behind it, the idea of like trying to hunt somebody or whatever. And when people make it, use it as a reference, sometimes I've seen it done where it's used as a reference and then kind of like with like a wink and a nod of like, oh, I'm smart for knowing this. And it's like, I don't know about that, man. It's just like it's a cool short story, but not a lot of people have time to read short stories. But I remember this from a kid, so I read it again. It's pretty great. Also, I really know this now, too, from trying to read it so many times. So I'm pretty excited for this episode. You probably hear my voice. I would like to say there's been a ton of remakes of this story. Specifically in 1994, Gary Busey and Ice-T made a movie called Surviving the Game that's based on this short story. I'm pretty sure that almost, I bet my left leg that got lambasted on Rotten Tomatoes for being a terrible movie. But I remember watching it as a kid and thinking it was cool that at one point Ice-T rigs a four-wheeler to blow up when somebody tries to start it. That's about all I remember from that movie. Again, I can't recommend that wholeheartedly, but if you like the story, there's a version of this where Ice-T is like fucking up Gary Busey and his friends. So maybe check that out. It's called Surviving the Game. And even if you're not super into it, I think overall the plot of this is like a fun hypothetical to think about. So that's how I wanted to go with it. So we're doing Patreon episode 8, The Most Dangerous Game. All right. So the story opens. There's a woman named Whitney and our main character, Sanger Rainsford. They're on a boat in the Caribbean Sea. There's a crew on the boat, and the captain of the boat's a dude named Captain Nielsen. You don't really need to know him, but he does get referenced once. Now, as the book opens, Whitney and Rainsford are talking about how they're going to go down to Brazil to hunt jaguars, because they're both accomplished hunters. And Whitney and Rainsford start talking, and Rainsford's like, hunting's the best fucking sport in the world. And Whitney's like, yeah, but not for the jaguar. And Rainsford's like, shut the fuck up. And Whitney's like, no, I'm just saying, like, they definitely probably feel fear and stuff too. And Rainsford's like, ah, fucking heat's making you soft, lady, knock it off. And Whitney's like, I don't know. And then she's also like, did you feel weird today? There's like an island out here. It's called like Ship Trap Island. I talked to the captain about it. Rainsford's like, what are you talking about? And Whitney's like, well, I asked him and he said that like, the island, Ship Trap Island, is cursed, and there is, like, I feel like there's an evil energy to it. She starts talking about how she thinks, like, evil might be, like, light and sound, where it has vibrations, and possibly Ship Trap Island, which is an unknown island that they're very close to, is giving off those kind of vibrations, because the Captain Nielsen was, like, when they were talking, Captain Nielsen was, like, Whitney, do you feel that in the air? And then Whitney tells Rainsford, like, seriously, I'm going to tell you the truth. I did feel something. When he said that, I felt, I don't know, it was like a mental chill, honestly. But it does feel weird around here. Rainsford's like, all right, man, you got to shut the fuck up with all this. I don't believe any of that shit. We're hunters. I can't wait to shoot some jaguars. We're having a good time. And Whitney's like, all right, well, I'm going to go to bed. And Rainsford's like, I'm not tired. This part of the book made me laugh when I read it, because when I was trying to read it out loud, it's written in like 1924 speak. Not like, Mercy, not like that kind of speak, but the kind, like the way that they would form sentences. And it's well-written literature, and I don't really speak like that, if you can't tell. So it uses floral language. So yeah, it was a fucking landmine, just a field of landmines for me when I was trying to read it out loud. A lot of mistakes, but so, but this is the one part of the book where when Whitney's like, I'm going to bed, Rainsford's like, I'm not tired yet. And Whitney's like, fine. Rainsford's like, I'm going up top to like go smoke another pipe on the after deck. I think that's his exact words were, I'm not tired. I'm going up top to go smoke another pipe on the after deck. And it made me laugh because that's kind of phrased as a way that like, oh, I might say that. So Whitney goes to sleep. Our main character, Rainsford, goes upstairs to go smoke another pipe on the after deck. And then he's just chilling. But then he hears three gunshots and he's like, what the fuck? And he goes off to the side of the boat and he gets on the railing of the boat to try to see like where those gunshots come from. Because he's a hunter. He can recognize this stuff. But as he gets up on the railing, his pipe hits a rope and he's like, oh, fuck. He goes and he tries to grab his pipe, overextends himself, falls off the boat. He falls off the yacht that he was on to go to Brazil on. And no, I mean, everybody's asleep. Nobody can see him. So he's in the water now in the Caribbean Sea, and he's like, fuck. He tries to panic swim back to the yacht. Yacht's too fast. He can't get there. And he's like, all right, dude, just chill. You've been in tight spots before. Think about where those gunshots may have come from. So he starts swimming off to his right, I believe, where he thinks the gunshots have come from. And then as he's swimming, and he's like, oh, man, I'm getting fucking tired. I'm going to drown out here. He hears another sound. Boom. But it's like different. It's a pistol shot. He's like, what the fuck? All right, well, that's kind of closer, whatever. And he keeps swimming in that direction. Now, as he gets closer to what he thinks is the island, he comes up on the rocks on the shore of the island by surprise. And he's like, oh my God, I'm so glad the fucking ocean wasn't crazy, or else it would have thrown me against these rocks and I'd be dead. Nice, I'm so tired. So he climbs up the rocks. He sees the edge of the island is lined with like jungles and weeds. There's no visible trails. It's just all jungles at the edge of the island. So he climbs up the rocks and he's like, fuck it, I'm sleeping here. So happy I'm not dead. I don't give a shit. I'm laying down. I'm having some Magneto Gore sleep, dude. I fucking worked hard. I'll see you. Goes to sleep. All right. He then wakes up on the shoreline. And then he does a quick math in his head. And it's like the next day in like the afternoon. He slept for a while. He's like, all right, well, where there's pistol shots, there's men. And where there's men, there's food. I don't know what kind of dudes are on this island, but I don't really give a shit. I don't really have many other options. I'm going to go find them. So he starts to walk along the edge of the jungle because he doesn't see any trails going into it. And then he finds a spot at the edge of the jungle where all the trees and shit are fucked up. He's like, what is this? And it says like the moss is lacerated. Like something happened here. And then he looks around and he sees crimson on the leaves, blood. So he's like, ah, fuck, dude. Holy shit. So he looks down and there's a ton of trees are fucked up. He looks down, he sees something shiny, he picks it up. It's a cartridge from a .22 caliber, which is a small weapon. So then Rainsford's like, holy fuck, this is a big animal. Something got killed here. So I think the three shots I heard on the boat were probably somebody flushing out a big animal. And then that last shot when I was swimming was this pistol shot that finished the animal off. And then he thinks like, man, whoever hunted that big fucking thing has got a lot of confidence because this is a small gun to kill a big dangerous thing with. Holy shit. Hmm. And then he looks down. He's like, was there a hunter? Where are the prints at? And he finds hunting prints from hunting boots. And he's like, nice. And then he follows them. So he follows them along. There's no visible trail, but he's following the boots. And then and it's starting to get dark now. It's almost nighttime. He passes like a crook on the island. And then as he passes the crook and it's getting dark out, he sees a bunch of lights. And he's like, nice, dude. That's a village. Fuck yeah. We got people going. Can't wait to say hi to somebody. I got to lay down. Man, I'm tired. I did a lot of swimming yesterday. But as he gets closer to the lights that he thinks is a village, he's like, holy fuck, it's all one big place. It's all one mansion, huh? And this is an insert. I wanted to put the actual language from the story in here because I really like it. And I think it sets the story well. So when Rainsford first sees the mansion, he describes it as a lofty structure with pointed towers plunging upwards into the gloom. His eyes made out the outline, the shadowy outlines of a palatial chateau. It was set on a high bluff, and on three sides of it, cliffs dived down to where the sea licked greedy lips in the shadows. Right? You heard me fuck up even that one. That was a cue card with like 20 words on it. I stumbled on that one. Whew, good call not doing the audiobook. But how cool is that description, right? So that huge house is so menacing that right after Rainsford is like, that's a mirage. That can't be real. Is this fucking for real? But he's like, I don't really have a choice. Whatever, I'm going to walk up to it. So Rainsford walks up to the mansion. And there's no doorbells or anything. And I really like this little detail too. Rainsford, they have giant stone gargoyle knockers. So Rainsford goes up, he pulls one of the knockers, knocks, nothing. Goes up, pulls it a second time, knocks, door flies the fuck open. And it's dark out. Rainsford can't see anything. So all the lights coming out of the house, he can't really see. He makes out like the outline of like the biggest motherfucker he's ever seen. It's like a Lithuanian Shaquille O'Neal, dude. It's a huge dude with a giant, like, black beard and a red sash on. And the guy is pointing a long barrel revolver at Rainsford's chest. And so Rainsford's like, whoa, real quick. Hey, hello. I'm Sanger Rainsford. I fell off a yacht. He gets no response from this giant guy with a gun. So he slows it down. He's like, I fell off a yacht. I am Sanger Rainsford. I am hungry. And the giant dude just cocks his revolver back like he's about to shoot him in the chest. And then at the last second, the giant guy goes from pointing a revolver, his hand goes right up to his forehead, his heels click together, and he's doing a military salute. And Rainsford's like, what the fuck? And then he sees from behind the giant dude in the house, a man is approaching. Enter a dude named General Zaroff. This is the guy who owns the house. This is the guy who owns the island. The first description you get of Zaroff was from Rainsford is, my first impression was the man was singularly handsome. It was a tall, past middle-aged man. He had white hair. He had black facial hair. I think this guy looked like Satan, like classic cinema Satan from the 50s with like a goatee going and the face of an aristocrat. And as Zaroff approaches Rainsford, he's like, oh, you're the celebrated hunter, Sanger Rainsford. Like, Zaroff already knows who this guy is. So Rainsford's like, what the fuck? What? I mean, whatever, I'm hungry, but like, it's weird this guy knows about me. So Zaroff waves off the giant guy. And we find out that the giant guy's name is Ivan. And Zaroff is like, sorry about him, dude. He's deaf and he's dumb. He's a Cossack. My bad. Anyway, don't worry about him. How are you? My name is General Zaroff. Would you like some, how about some food? Thanks for coming. I already know about you. Don't think that's weird or anything. You want some food? How about some clothes or some rest? What do you think about all this? And Rainsford's fucking exhausted. He hasn't eaten. He swam forever. He just did a triathlon yesterday. And he's like, I don't fucking, all right, man, whatever. I'm coming in. So this is a second insert from the actual book. So Rainsford is led upstairs to a bedroom by Ivan. And the bedroom is described as, it was a huge beamed ceiling bedroom with a canopy bed big enough for six men. And also in the bedroom, like to get dressed for dinner, to come back down and eat with Zaroff, there was a suit cut by a London tailor who ordinarily only cut and sewed for none below the title of Duke, right? How cool is that to set the stage? But where the fuck is, if you're Rainsford, you're like, where the fuck am I, dude? How do you get these clothes from London? What the fuck is going on? So Rainsford goes back downstairs for dinner with Zaroff. He gets down there. Zaroff's like, hey, man, you'll have a cocktail. You know what I'm saying? What do you think of? He gives him a cocktail. Rainsford's like, it's a great cocktail, dude. Hell yeah. Zaroff's like, I got some borscht. You want some borscht? Rainsford's like, let's go with the borscht. Love it. So then Zaroff starts chatting up Rainsford, which I thought was weird because, like, hey, man, you got a guest over for dinner. Why are you talking about yourself so much? But Zaroff just more or less gives him his bio. Zaroff's like, what's up? I'm from Russia. I'm also a Cossack. Me and Ivan are up on this island. Don't think that's weird or anything. We're just hanging out. What happened was my dad was really rich in Russia, and then the Russian Revolution happened, and I was like, fuck all that. So I took some of my money. Don't worry about it. I invested it in American security, so I didn't lose everything in the Russian Revolution. Bought this island. Now I hunt down here. Oh, by the way, I've been hunting my whole life. Love killing shit. I love it. I'm telling you, my dad gave me a gun when I was 5. I killed a bear when I was like 11. I've been hunting shit my whole life. I love hunting so much, and that's why I'm so excited that you're here. Because you're Sanger Rainsford, right? I read your book on snow leopards. I loved it. And Rainsford's like, this is about as weird as this could have gone. But okay. And then Zaroff's like, here's one thing. Hey, you ever get bored when you're hunting? And Rainsford's eating this borscht. He's just like, nah, man. I don't know what you're talking about. And Zaroff's like, well, here's my problem. You know, because I'm the kind of guy who likes to have dinner guests over and tell them my fucking problems. So Zaroff's like, I was hunting, like, I've killed everything, man. I'm so good at hunting. And not to talk myself up or anything, but I've shot everything on earth in the head a couple of times. I'm so bored with it. I did jaguars once. You were going down to do jaguars, right? Don't ask me how I know that. You're going down to do jaguars? I did jaguars once. Somebody told me that they were crafty. I went down there, shot them all in the head. Not even hard. You know, I'm telling you, I think the French call it ennui. Zaroff uses that word a couple times. I think that means like a boredom or a stupor, but I didn't look it up. I just assumed it. Now I'm recording it, so I got to put the... I'm official guess. Ennui means boredom. Anyway, so Zaroff tells Rainsford all this shit, and Rainsford's like, yeah, man, that's tough. I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to eat this borscht. Thanks for having me. That sounds like a tough problem. And Zaroff's like, no. I solved it. I'm super happy hunting on this island now. I got to tell you, it's a game preserve. It's the best shit ever. And Rainsford's like, oh, dude, this is a game preserve. You got animals down here? Would you import tigers or something? And so I was like, no. I mean, I like tigers, but there's no challenge left in tigers. I've shot so many goddamn tigers in the head, I can't even tell you. Bored with tigers, bored with tears. What I was thinking, I bought this on, and I was like, I need an animal that's the perfect thing to hunt, you know? And what makes an interesting hunt to me? I need to be able to hunt something that can reason. And Rainsford's like, what are you talking about? Reason? Like, there's no animals that can reason. And Zaroff's like, there is one. You know what I'm saying? And Rainsford's like, you can't be serious, dude. What the fuck? That's murder, dude. You can't be doing that. And Zaroff's like, fuck off, dude. They're just the scum of the earth. It's not even that big of a deal. I get them down here. I hunt them down. It's so fun, dude. I'm telling you. You got to get into this. And Rainsford's like, this is fucking nuts, dude. This is definitely not cool. Are you lying to me right now? Is this real? And Zaroff's like, look, come to the window, dude, look at this. So they both look out the window, and Zaroff hits a button, and then these electric, like, buoys in the ocean light up to signal a channel for safe passage for ships. And Zaroff's like, you see that, dude? You see that, like, safe channel I got lit up there? That's not a safe channel, dude. That's all rocks. I gotta tell you, that is all rocks. That's a Grand Canyon for boats, just chewing up boats out there. That's like a sea monster. That is not a safe channel. So I turn these things on when I got no other people to hunt. Crash a boat, dudes come here, and you know, I hunt them down. Rainsford's like, this is fucking completely insane, dude. What are you even telling me? And Zaroff's like, look, I know. They're like sailors, so they're not really good at the jungle, which does bum me out. I wish they were craftier and stronger, but it is so much better than tigers or anything else. I'm telling you. And every now and then he says, like, I tried to fight a tartar once, which is like a type of person, a tartar. And he was like, he almost won, but he couldn't do it either. But I'm telling you, dude, this is pretty cool. You have got to get in on this. I'm telling you. Rance was like, this is, I can't even be here right now. And then Zara was like, look, it's not murder, dude. I'm telling you, it's a game, dude. I got it all set up. Listen, here's how it goes. All right. So I give them food and I give them bed. They get to work out for a while. They get in great shape, right? And then on the night we hunt, here's what happens. I give the guy food. No problem there. He also gets an excellent hunting knife. He gets a 3-hour head start. And all he has to do is survive for 3 days and then he wins. That's a pretty good game. You know what I'm saying? Rancher was like, are you out of your fucking mind? And Zara was like, okay, no. Here's the thing. It's pretty good, dude. I only get a pistol, quote unquote, of the smallest caliber and range. I'm telling you, it's a great game. You are going to love it. I am telling you. And Rancher was like, you're insane. What if somebody refuses? So I was like, well, if somebody refuses, they get tortured to death by Ivan. Ivan gets a torch on the death. He loves doing that. He used to do that in Russia. Every now and then he likes, you know, pulling out those old skills, showing them what's up. You can't refuse. Ivan will torture you to death. Rancher's like, all right. I kind of feel sick, man. My stomach hurts. I'm going to go up and go to sleep. I'm pretty tired from all that swimming. I honestly, man, my stomach hurts. I'm just going to go up and lay down and go to bed, man. This has been a long day. I got to be honest with you. And this part of the book made me laugh because Zarov's like a little kid who doesn't want the hangout to end. Because as Rainsford's about to go upstairs, Zarov's like, I'm telling you, man, you're really going to love it, right? I got this one guy tonight. If you want to come tonight, I got this one guy. It's a black dude. I'm telling you, he looks resourceful. I'm going to try to hunt him tonight. You sure you don't want to come out? I'm telling you, we're ready to go. You can just come watch. What do you think? He's a good one. I'm telling you, I think I got a good feeling about this guy. Rainsford's like, yeah, this is fucking nuts. No, man, my tummy hurts. I'm leaving. And then Zarov's like, you sure you just don't want to see my collection of human heads real quick? I got so many human heads down there. You want to see this shit real quick before you go to sleep, man? And Rancher's like, no, dude, stomach hurts. Going to bed. Good night. And Zarov's like, all right, well, I'll see you tomorrow. Dude, don't even worry about it. Thanks for coming. I'll see you tomorrow. It's going to be great. Rainsford goes upstairs to sleep. But he can't fucking sleep. He just got told all that crazy shit. So Rainsford goes up into his room and he looks out the window. He's thinking about escape. So he looks down from his window. And directly beneath his window are all of Zarov's hunting dogs. He can't escape. If he jumps out the window, he's going to die like that one dude who fucking, if you listen to the Hope Diamond episode, that one guy, Tavernier, may or may not have gotten torn apart by dogs. If Rainsford jumps out of this window, he's going to get torn apart by dogs like Tavernier may have, or maybe not. I remember that, like, at the end of that episode, you find out that, like, that dude Cartier made up most of that fucking legend. Anyway, so he's going to get torn apart by dogs. If he jumps out the window, he can't do that. So he's like, all right, whatever. I'm just going to lay down. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm tired. So he tries to lay down. He can't sleep. And then just as he's getting to sleep, it's like the morning, he hears a pistol shot outside. And he's like, what the fuck? So Rancher's like, all right, whatever. I'm going to go downstairs, see what's going on here. Goes downstairs and Zarov is walking in at the same time. And he looks kind of sad. So Rancher's like, hey, man. How are you? And Zarov's like, oh, hey, dude, what's up, man? I got to tell you, remember I told you I was going to hunt that black guy last night? I got to tell you, I was so excited for him. And I just, he wasn't even, he kind of like lost his mind a little bit. I just shot him in the head. It was fine. I got to tell you, I'm scared I'm getting bored again. I'm scared I'm getting bored of hunting people. You know how scary that is, man? I got to tell you, I am terrified of it. Hey, you want some booze? And Rainsford's like, no, I don't want any fucking booze, dude. I got to get out of here. I'm leaving today, dude. I am leaving this island. And Zarov gets serious and he's like, no, tonight we will hunt. You and I. And Rancher's like, "What? Nah, dude, I'm not doing that. Rancher's like, look, it's either you hunt with me or Ivan gets to torture you to death. Which one of those do you want to do, man? Also, I'm excited to hunt you. You're a hunter. Think about it. Dude, intellect versus intellect, strength versus strength, reason versus reason. It's like outdoor chess, man. Let's go. Rainsford takes a beat. He's like, all right. I mean, this is obviously nuts, but like, what happens if I win? And Zarov's like, well, if you win, then you get to go home as long as you don't say shit. Honestly, I'll get your boat. It's cool. And Rancer was like, there's no way I'm leaving and not talking about this. This is the craziest shit of all time. You can't be doing this. And Zaroff's like, all right, well, hey, I'll tell you what. If you win in 3 days, we can talk about it, okay? But for tonight, we're definitely going to hunt. Rancer's like, all right, well, I'm not going to get tortured to death. That's fine. I'm into it. Who's got stuff for me? And then Ivan comes up to him and he gives him the hunting knife and shit. And Zaroff's like, hey, if I were you, I would definitely wear moccasins. Those are harder for me to, like, trace your trail. And watch out for the swamp. The swamp, it's on that side of the island. Yeah, we call it Death Swamp around here because I got to tell you, you go down there, this quicksand and shit, you better watch out down there. Watch out for the swamp. Wear some moccasins. I'm going to try to hunt you and murder you tonight, okay? I got to tell you, I'm tuckered out. That black dude, I was so mad that he kind of gave up, you know, a little disappointed. Rainsford's like, I've got to get the fuck out of here, dude. Jesus Christ. And that's technically when the hunt begins. The most dangerous game begins. Because from there, the short story cuts to Rainsford, and he's outside, and he is running. He is running through the jungle for just a few hours. No plan. Again, he didn't sleep last night. He hasn't slept a whole lot. He's just trying not to freak out at this point, right? So at a certain point, he's like, all right, dude, I got to chill. I got to stop running. There's no way I can hide. This island is way too small. Fuck. But then Rainsford comes up with a plan. He's like, all right, I'm going to use the tricks of the fox hunt. All right, I'm going to create a series of intricate loops to confuse Zaroff. He'll never fucking find me. 3 days will run out. We'll be fine. Right? So then Rainsford runs for hours. Again, no sleep. He had one good meal. He's scared as shit. But by the end of the day, he's tired. But he's made a bunch of those loops. He feels like he's good, dude. He stops by a tree and he says, I have played the fox. Now I must play the cat of the fable. And then he climbs up a tree and falls asleep. But before he falls asleep, he says, only the devil himself could follow that trail. Right? Cut to Rainsford wakes up in a tree because a bird won't shut the fuck up. He's like, what the fuck is that bird chirping at? He looks down and he sees a large object moving. And what was approaching was a man, dude. It was fucking Zaroff. It was Zaroff. So Zaroff comes up and he follows the edge of the trail. And Rainsford did his best to make this as complicated as possible. He thought it was going to take at least a couple days. Maybe he'd have to ride out a last day or whatever, but Zaroff didn't start hunting until the middle of the night. So in the middle of the night, in the dark, General Zaroff is a good enough hunter that he fucking solved all those little fox traps he had, and he has now found the tree where Rainsford thought he would be safe in for at least a day or two. So Zaroff is at the foot of the tree, and he stands up, and he's like, huh. He pulls out one of his exotic cigarettes, and he starts smoking it. And then he's looking up the tree where Rainsford is hiding on a branch. And Rainsford's pretty high up, but Zaroff's looking up that tree, dude. So as his head goes up, Zaroff's head stops right before the branch where Rainsford is on. He takes a drag of that cigarette and then blows a circle up towards Rainsford and smiles. And then he turns around and walks back inside. Right after that happens, Rainsford's like, holy shit, did I get lucky that he didn't find me? Man, he's pretty good at tracking, though. And then he's like, oh, fuck, dude, he totally found me. And he just spared me for another night of hunting because that was fun for him. And I'm such good hunting for him. He didn't want to fucking kill me right then. This guy found me. Holy fuck. He needs another day's sport with me. So Rainsford almost wigs out right there up on that branch. He's like, and there's a quote in the story that says he forces the machinery of his mind to function. He's that scared. Rainsford gets down out of the tree and he hauls ass for like 3 football fields. He's like, Jesus fucking Christ. Where he comes upon a huge dead tree. And then he starts working furiously. And then he hides because he doesn't know what General Zaroff's doing. What's going on here? It's daytime. What the fuck is this? Right. So then not too much time passes. And Zaroff comes walking down the trail, tracing his steps again. Rainsford's like, Jesus Christ, I hope this works, right? So Zaroff's foot touches the trigger of the trap that Rainsford had set for him. But then Zaroff's such a good hunter, he jumps right back as soon as his foot touches the trigger. The trap springs and the dead tree crushes down and it does hit Zaroff on the shoulder, but it's just a glancing blow. But it does hit him. So Zaroff rubs his shoulder and he can't see Rainsford. Rainsford's hidden, but Czar's rubbing his shoulder, and he looks up, and he's like, Rainsford, well done, dude. Not many men know how to make a Malay man catcher. Good shit, dude. And he's like, I'm going to go home and have my wound dressed. I'll tell you what, I'll see you tonight. Great stuff so far. I got to be honest with you. Good stuff. So Rainsford sees Zaroff walk away, and he's like, oh my fucking Jesus. Gets up, and again, he just starts hauling ass. He's got no plan, dude. He's so scared. His two best plans haven't worked. He's still got time. These 3 days isn't going to run out. Zaroff's coming back, dude, and he could find him pretty quick. So Rainsford is running, and then all of a sudden, one of his legs, like, goes into the ground. He's like, fuck, dude, I'm at the swamp. God damn it, I'm at the swamp with the quicksand. He said not to go down here. Now my one leg's all dirty. But the soft earth gives Rainsford an idea. He's like, all right, fuck it. I was in World War I in France. I can dig. I can dig in. It's fine. So Rainsford starts furiously trying to dig a pit, dude. So he digs his ass off, and he ends up making a pit that's about it. Like, he can stand in it, and it goes up to his shoulders. It's a pretty deep pit, dude. He did a good job digging. Then he sharpens a number of stakes, and then he puts them in the pit. And then he weaves weeds and branches together into a carpet to camouflage the opening of the pit. And it's in the middle of a trail. He lays that on top of there, and then he goes and he hides behind the stump of a tree that was charred from being hit by lightning, which I really like that detail in the story, because I just think that's a fun, weird thing to put in there that, like, all right, I got this death pit. I'm going to stand behind this stump that got hit by lightning. Man, I hope I kill this Russian guy. Holy fuck. So not too much time passes, and then Rainsford can hear Zaroff coming, and he can smell the exotic cigarette of Zaroff coming down that trail. But it's quicker now, and it's less careful. So Rancher's like, here we go, dude. You're going to fucking die in a pit. Can't wait. I'm going to sleep in that. I'm gonna own that mansion. I'm going to own this whole thing. Can't wait. Here we go. Get in the pit. So he hears, and then he hears the branches of the carpet that he wove on top of the pit crack. And then he hears the cries of extreme pain. He's like, fuck yeah, dude. Woo! Jumps out from behind the stump. And then he sees Zaroff standing next to the pit, like 3 feet away from it. And Zaroff's holding an electric torch. And then Rainsford hides real quick. He's like, oh, fuck, don't see me. Jesus Christ, I thought he fell in that thing. And Zaroff's like, Rainsford, good job, dude. You killed my dog. That was a pretty good hunting dog. Great stuff. Again, good stuff, dude. I'll tell you what, I'm going home. This is amusing. I'll see you again soon, though. And Zaroff turns around and he goes back to his house. Rainsford's like, Jesus Christ, dude. All right. Rainsford runs and then he just falls asleep. And he's like, I've had too much of this, dude. I got to lay down. This is too much. Lay down. I got no plans left. I'm fucking terrified. A little bit of time, sleep goes by. Rainsford wakes up to the distant sound of a pack of dogs coming closer to him. He's like, fuck, dude. Rainsford climbs a tree, and about a quarter of a mile away, he sees General Zaroff and Ivan walking. But Ivan's walking weird. He's getting pulled forward, and that's because he has a pack of hunting dogs on a leash in front of him. Rainsford's like, God damn it. I don't have much time here. Try not to freak out. So Rainsford slides down the tree, and at this point in time, he thinks of a native trick that he learned in Uganda. So, looking around, he finds a springy sapling, and he pulls it back. He fashions his hunting knife that they gave him, the excellent hunting knife, onto the edge of this springy sapling. He pulls it back, ties it to another tree, and then has it pointed at the trail. He's like, all right, man, I hope that works. He hears the dog making more noise, and he's like, fuck all this. And then he just runs, dude. He runs fast as fuck. He's like, man, I hope that kills somebody. Here we go. He stops, he hears the dogs, he hears the people coming down the trail past the knife trap, and then the dogs stop barking. He's like, all right, somebody hit it. All right, all right. He looks up, and again, he sees Zaroff standing really close to, but didn't get hit by his trap. And Zaroff's just looking around, the dogs are there, but hey now, this counts. You killed Ivan, dude. That thing hit him in the fucking chest. Ivan's dead now. Way to go. So Rainsford pops out, and he's like, all right, well, I killed Ivan. That's not so good. Those dogs and that guy are still going to murder me. Zaroff grabs the dogs by the leash, and starts closing in on Rainsford, dude. Fuck. It is a dead sprint now. Rainsford's like, I got no more plans. I got no knife. I got a muddy leg. There's dogs coming. I killed one. I killed the big one, but this fucking Satan-looking guy is going to kill me. God damn it. They are hauling ass. Rainsford runs, and he approaches the edge of a cliff. And from this edge of the cliff, there's kind of like a lagoon where like the chateau is on the other side of this cove. So Rainsford's running up the cliff. The cliff's like 20 feet down. He's like, I got nope. It's all rocks and shit, but I'm going to get eaten by dogs like Tavernier if I stay, dude. Fuck all this. Rainsford looks back, jumps off the cliff into the ocean. Zaroff closes in with the dogs, and he stands at the edge of the cliff looking down. Zaroff's like, ah, fuck. Guy jumped. God damn it. All right. Well, that was at least fun. Whatever. Zaroff turns around and he goes home with the dogs. Cut to Zaroff's now back at the mansion. And he's having a big dinner. It's the end of his hunt. Hey now, having a big old dinner. He drinks two different bottles of booze. And he's thinking out loud that he's pretty sad that, like, it's going to be hard to replace Ivan. That was a giant Lithuanian dude. You know, it's going to be hard to find another one of those. And he was an idiot and he listened to him. I really like that about it. But whatever. So then Zaroff's like, all right, it is what it is. I'm kind of hammered. I'm going to go up to bed. It's 10 p.m., right? So Zaroff goes up to his bed and the room's dark. He goes over to the window, opens his window up, which looks down on the hunting dogs as well. And he's like, better luck next time to his dogs. Like, ah, sorry, didn't get to fucking eat that guy. That sucks, huh? Zaroff turns around and turns the light on in his room. And from behind the curtains, he sees a man emerge. He's like, oh, fuck, Rainsford? How'd you get here? And Rainsford's like, I fucking swam, dude. And Zaroff's like, well, congratulations, dude. You won the game. I gotta tell you, way to go. First one, you won. How about that? Way to go, man. And then Rainsford's like, I am still a beast at bay. Get ready, general. And the general takes a very low bow. Very low, respectful bow to Rainsford. And he's like, I see. One of us will feed the hounds. And one of us will sleep in this excellent bed. And then the story ends with, he had never slept in a better bed, Rainsford decided. How fucking great a story is that, huh? He killed him. He killed him with his hands at the end. He strangled him probably. Or maybe threw him out to the dogs. I don't give a shit. Rainsford owns the island now. How great of, like, I don't know. Look, you know, that's not going to, you know, this information won't cure cancer or anything. I don't really know if it's useful, but I think it's a great story. Honestly, I really like this story. I hope you guys enjoyed it too. It was one of my favorite ones as a kid. And even reading it now as an adult, it's still really compelling stuff. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that story. This is Oral Presentations, Patreon episode 8, The Most Dangerous Game. And it's really, I really enjoyed reading it. Again, I'm not going to make it into an audiobook. I can't. But I hope you guys like the story, man. And again, it's just pretty wild out there right now. I hope you guys are doing all right. And I hope you're all being safe. Thanks so much for listening. And I'll talk to you guys later on. See you.